everybody. What is going on? Welcome back once again to a brand new episode of Sweeten Up Podcast, season number 2, episode number 64. I am your host, Jeff Spencer. Thank you so much for taking some time to join me today. I greatly appreciate it, whether you have for an entire season or you are today for the first time. Thank you so much for joining us. However, if you are just joining us for the first time, take a look back at our library of 63 episodes anytime you want, anywhere you subscribe to the show. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Amazon Music, and so much more. As always, if you like what you hear on the podcast today, please be sure to subscribe anywhere you get your podcast so that you never miss a future episode. You can find the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Sweeten Up Podcast. With that being said, my guest on the podcast today is one of my good friends and the always wonderful Lisa Nichols. Lisa Nichols is the founder and owner of Bread and Beast Food Photography. She has covered food photography for the biggest chefs in the state, as well as Hearst Media, Connecticut Magazine, and numerous other publications. Lisa also came to my hometown of Newtown and took the photos for Sweeten Up Podcast. I am so excited to share my two-part conversation with you all. Lisa is a true gem. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, part one of my two-part podcast episode with my friend, an incredible photographer and human, Lisa Nichols. Joining me on the podcast today via Zoom video conferencing, it's always a pleasure to get to chat with this lovely individual on the other side of my computer screen, the founder and owner of Bread and Beast Food Photography. If you follow restaurants and love food, you've probably seen her work, the great and powerful Lisa Nichols. And Lisa, it's so good to see you again. And how are you, my friend?
You too, Jeff. I'm amazing. I'm so happy to be here. Love seeing your smiling face.
Thank you. It's good to see you as well. We'll dive into, you taking the photos for Sweeten Up Podcast and us getting to meet in Newtown and going to Good Old Days Pizza.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Meeting Matt and taking photos with the guys at Good Old Days. And we'll get to all that later for sure. So it's good to see you again because it's been a little bit. I know you've been busy. I've been busy. I mean, the summer was crazy. We're coming off like one of the craziest years the country's ever seen. And on that note, definitely fill me in, and I'm sure you did when we met, and I know you did, but with COVID and COVID-19, the pandemic, everything like that, how did you get by last year? How are you today? And what could you tell us about, you know, how you coped with this just awful year we had?
Well, it's kind of funny because, thank you for asking, I should say, first of all, but it's been a time of tremendous growth, believe it or not, for me. It was not at all what I expected where I would be, because back when it started, I was just getting some momentum with my food photography stuff, and it was hard to say, and I was getting, a little more clients and getting more just, hopeful about really realizing my dream and meeting more people, and then bang, everything just shut, that was it. And because I've been, in the scene for a while, in some respect, either shooting for some magazines or things like that, I get to know a lot of these people. So I was, when everything went away and I had nothing to do, basically, I'm like, I gotta keep busy, I gotta do something because I just love what I do so much. And even if I wasn't working for paying clients, I wanted to do something that, was in some way connected and hopefully positive. And I have a background in, when I went to college, I studied photography in a way where I was more bent on doing, I wanted to do street photography or documentary photography. So I wanted to use that interest that I've always had and still have to, with my food photography stuff. So I started doing this project. I called it Takeout Only, where I was, because at that time, that's what they were in, the phase was only takeout. So I started in the town where I live in Manchester here, just stopping in restaurants. And nobody knew me here. I didn't work with anyone here, but just stopping in and just explaining quickly, that I'm a photographer and I'm concerned with what's going on. And I wanted to see how everyone was doing. And I wanted to document it as well, so I could just, in a way, give back. That was it's my strongest talent, photography. So it's what I use to give back however I can, as well as make money for myself, express myself, things like that. So I created this project where I was just documenting what was going on in the restaurants. And then I actually did some writing with it too, and then would post it on my website, you know. And writing for me isn't something that I do much of, but I really found that I liked getting to see what people were doing, how they were giving back to people, how the restaurant industry was trying to take care of its own during this time, and the tremendous effect on everybody. It was just so stunning, all of it, you know. So in that sense, that kept me busy when things were, you know, gone. And it also helped in a way, in a weird sort of way, grow my business. So as it started to pick up and, you know, come out of it a little bit, I ended up with more clients, which was great, you know. And I hopefully gave back to people too. I mean, I really wanted to give back to people during that time that were suffering. So
yeah, that's awesome. And you're the best. I mean, you are just so kind. And those takeout only photos that you did, just so incredible. I actually went back to your website today to like relook at them and everything. And I'm like, man, like what a crazy year, but you know, how great are these photos to highlight all the great things that restaurant workers and frontline, you know, essentially frontline workers were doing and trying to get by and manage. And that's really, really great. I love it.
It was touching to see how they were all doing things. And then I also got involved with some, you know, like, I don't know if you knew, but back in February, there was like a protest that the restaurant industry did. Carlos Perez and Dustin Amore, they like organized it, and we marched in the governor's mansion, and I photographed that. And then some of them with their, you know, hashtag Stay by Restaurants campaign tried to give some time to photograph them and get that out too. So it was hard, you know, so hard on these people that I really care about. So
yeah, I was huge with the Save Connecticut restaurants. I followed suit with a lot of other people and put it as my Facebook banner to show my support for the cause. And I definitely did a lot of takeout, tipped hard and continue to tip hard. You know, I usually always do, but even more so now, I'm tipping very hard and 'cause they deserve it. And you know, one thing I've told people on this podcast, and you know, I'm sure I'm just, you know, repeating myself at this point, but you know, they're the people who make your special days special, right. Your birthday, your anniversary, you know, your wedding, you know, bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, you name
everything.
It.
Oh yeah. God, everything.
And they're there to take care of it so you can relax and have a nice meal and enjoy your day. And if they're not there, you can't have those special moments that you can look back on with your family and your friends and your loved ones and all that good stuff. Exactly. So yeah. So it's, you know, it's cool to see what you did and, you know, everything, all the, you know, positives that can come out of a negative situation for your end with the food photography and everything like that. And, you know, speaking of photography and how you did it in college, you know, definitely take me back to your younger years, you know, what growing up was like, where you're from originally. And you know, when you first realized that you were going to, you know, you were falling in love with photography and the whole aspect.
Well, I was born in Vermont, in Barry, Vermont, which is below the capital, Montpelier. And I lived there until I was 12. And then when my parents split up, my dad is a Vermont native, lived there his entire life. And when my parents split up, my mom was from Middletown. So we moved back here to Middletown. So I had this 1 year, I was 12. My parents split up, which was a good thing. And then my house burned down within like 2 months of, it was August, my parents separated, October, my house burned down in Vermont. Whoa. So yay, it was a great year, seventh grade. So we moved here. And it was a big change because I lived in the country and, you know, I lived in the same house my entire life up to that point and stuff. So it was a hard year. But we were happy. I have an older brother, younger sister. We were happy to be here with my mom's family because my mom had this big, great, big family. And so it was nice to be with them. But it was a culture shock for sure. But one thing we did when my mom met my stepfather, who she was with for 25 years, he introduced us to Maine. And we used to go to Wells, Maine and go on vacation every summer. And we go for a week or two in the summer. And we always went on Labor Day weekend. We'd go again on Columbus Day weekend. And we always went to the same hotel cottage place owned by this family. And so I fell in love with Maine. And when it came time to look for colleges, I knew I wanted to go to art school, and I had photography in my head before I even picked up a camera, quite honestly. Like, I don't know how or why, really, but it was just something that was just kind of there. And so when I was looking for colleges, I found a college in Maine. At the time it was called Portland School of Art in Portland, Maine. Now it's called Maine College of Art. But I went there in the late 80s. And when I started, I went there intending to major in photography, but I didn't even own a camera yet. Mm-hmm. I had taken a photography class in high school. But that was it. My uncle Joe gave me a little point and shoot Nikon camera that I had, but that was it. And so when I started, I didn't have a camera, and I took ceramics the first year, which I was dreadfully terrible at. I loved it, but then my mom, we were finally able to get a camera. And my very first camera was a Pentax K1000, which is like the most basic camera you can get, I wish I still had it. I lost it in a house flood probably like 10 years ago, but basement flood, but it was a great camera. It was a great way to learn. So that was where I went to college. It was all art based. You know, they had a foundation program and then you split off into your disciplines. And I always liked the street photographers and documentary photography and just like studying what people do with your camera, because people are so interesting, they're just so, the stuff people do and the relationships between people, like looking through your lens at that stuff and capturing those like moments, I just have this internal drive to do that. But what was really funny though, was I was a very shy teenager, and like moving to Vermont from Connecticut was very kind of traumatic for me in a way. And I kind of just was like, ooh, these people were tougher here. And I was like, I'm very sensitive. So I was just kind of like, stay away from me. I just had my nose in a book, like most of the time until my senior year of high school. And then I kind of came out of that. And when I went to art school, I completely came out of it, and now you can't shut me up. But I was always very kind of timid, and shy. So when I was in college, oddly enough, I would kind of avoid people and things like that, because I was kind of scared to approach strangers or didn't want to get yelled at and stuff. So I would do more still life kind of things or things without people or stuff like that. And after I graduated from school, I used to do a lot of like studies. When I graduated from college, I worked at a photo lab for 7 years, and a lot of times I would set up these sort of like tableaus of fruits and things like that, like food and dishes and things like that. And photograph them before I'd have to go to work. And then when I'd get to work, I'd run over and put the film in the machine and, right away so I could see what I got and stuff. And so I sort of started studying those kinds of things then too. But
so you were messing around with that old school way, like way before this new crazy digital era where everything is just,
I can't tell you how much more I love film, and I miss film and stuff like that, but I just, this digital stuff is like, I'm all about it. Love it, so much. That's film awesome. And paper was so expensive back in the day. Oh my God. It's crazy. And it's just, I'm loving the digital stuff for sure.
That's really cool. So was that kind of like, so photographing, photographing food, was that sort of like that was sort of the first thing you started doing, or what are some things that you started working with first?
Well, I remember doing that, I would just kind of do that alone in my apartment before I would, like after I graduated from college, like that was, cause I didn't know what to do. I graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. You don't go out and just get a job with that. I couldn't teach. I didn't have a master's degree. I worked at a photo lab for 10 bucks an hour, developing people's vacation pictures and trying to hide whatever they sent. And people took nude pictures of themselves, hiding them coming up through the front of the machine, stuff like that. And, or other people. So it was, waiting on people and stuff. So it was kind of
Oh yeah, I didn't think of that. People would take all these weird pictures, and have to deal with that. Oh my gosh!
we had this Noritsu machine, and in the front was clear, and paper on the time was just a big roll, right? And so you put the film through the machine, and the paper is just a big roll, and it goes through the inside of the machine, the guts of the machine, then it comes out up the front, and it was open, clear on the front. And if one of us was printing, we could see because we're looking at the negatives. We'd be like to someone else, you'd be. Cover the machine, because you could see it coming, and the machine was in the front window, so we would cover it so that whoever's walking by isn't seeing these people's racy pictures coming up the front of the machine. So,
oh my gosh, that's incredible.
All the time. That's how it was back then. So wow. Just imagine. Now it's way too easy to take a,
Yeah.
So, whatever.
That's very interesting. And I know, before we started recording, before we started getting into the episode here, we were talking about Maine and how great Maine is and Portland and, not even Portland, just like all over. But just Maine is great. And like, what a great place for you to go to school. I mean, that must have
been. Portland was amazing.
How was it? Yeah. Tell me about it.
It was amazing. I mean, especially for like an 18-year-old. And the funny thing
I wish I was an 18-year-old in Portland.
But it was a small school I went to at the time. There's only about 300 students, and they had the dorm I lived in was across the street from like the main building. There was like a library, and then they had the photography students were there and the graphic design students. And then they had some like a lecture space and stuff. But I lived in a townhouse called the Lafayette Townhouse, and there were 6 floors. We had the top floor, which used to be a ballroom, and they converted it. They cut it all up into these rooms, right? Just a room. And then we had a shared, kitchen and stuff like that. But the bottom 5 floors. So the top floor was like 25, 18-year-olds. The bottom 5 floors were all 65 and older people. So it was like elderly housing, crazy 25, 18-year-olds on the top floor, throwing bologna out the window and guys dressing up in women's clothing and walking down on the street. It was all sorts of, like ridiculous 18-year-old stuff. So it was a lot of fun. It was it was life-changing for me to go. It was a big turning point in my life where I just really sort of came out of my shell. So it was awesome. But I was, I just was always, I didn't really know what I was going to do with it when I was done. I mean, I wanted to be, I had a professor in school named Paul D'Amato. And if you ever like Google him, his name is Paul D'Amato. He teaches in Chicago now, but he's a street photographer. And he's a big influence on me because he has this way of just approaching strangers and photographing them and capturing something that is just between color and light and pose or whatever, that is just like absolutely amazing. And I live for those moments, like whenever I can get them, if I'm photographing, a chef in the kitchen, like doing what they do, which is incredible, or a plate of food, a moment of dropping, a garnish or a sauce or something, like a texture, color together, like all those moments that are, they just sing, like those are the things that I kind of live for,
That's so awesome.
That's I don't think I did any food when I was in college. I don't even know what I did. I don't think I was very good back then either. Like I look now and I'm like, I had no idea what
did you photograph like. Landscapes? Were you the Bob Ross of photography?
Landscapes are so not my thing. Like yeah, I'm just kind of like, yeah, there's a landscape. They're the people who do it and do it well, I admire them for sure, it's just not my thing. Like I just don't it doesn't draw me in for some reason,
Gotcha. That's funny. Well, listen, let's get into Bread and Beast, because what you're doing with food photography should be illegal because the photos are just so good. It just every time I see one of your photos, I immediately get hungry. My mouth starts to water. I just want to put my hand through my computer screen or my phone and just reach out and grab it, because The way you take photos of food is just unlike anything I've ever seen. And people, because what you did for me, the endless photos that you've done of Carlos, Chef Carlos Perez over at the corner, a friend of the show, yeah. I met you because of him and all the great things you've done with him. And mm-hmm. honestly, I saw him because of his photos and was like, I'm like, who's this rock star?
It's amazing. I know. He's just like, I don't know where. I'm so endlessly thankful to him.
Talk to me about Bread and Beast, food photography. You know, what is it? Obviously food photography, but what is it? You know, what does it mean to you? How did you come up with the name? And just give me some background on it for those who,
when I went to school for photography, I came out, like I said, didn't know what to do with it and stuff. And then I got married, had kids. My husband at the time was very practical, not really supportive of anything creative as like a job per se. And I was kind of like, yeah, I guess he's right. So I went a completely different route and was working with special needs kids for 10 years. And I loved it for a long time. But then the department I did get kind of burnt out. But then the department I was working in, the director dissolved the department. And basically had a whole different direction. So it was like an opportunity for me in a way to do something different. So in the push I kind of needed, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, I went back to school and took some graphic design classes, which was also an interest of mine at the time. And so I was doing some graphic design for a while and I kind of put photography on the side. So I still always like, I wouldn't not call myself a photographer and I'd call myself a graphic designer, but I was like, fundamentally, and it's so hard to admit, but I've come to the realization I'm really just too slow to be a graphic designer. Like you have to be fast. And I'm just like way too slow. So like letting that go or people not using me anymore because of that, like I'm like, thank you very much. You're right. It pushed me in the direction of photography more, which is totally
cool.
Where I'm happy. So, but I started this, I had a little like business called Right Click Photo and Design for a while I was doing both. And then I was like, you know, I really want to move away from the graphic design and just focus more on, like, I just found like that was just more what I wanted to do and more what got me going and stuff. So I completely like got out of that. And I was like trying to think of something, you know, a name that was more specific to what I did, you know? And so I was talking with my sister Kirsten one day and she threw up some stuff. I can't remember what she suggested, but I just thought of, you know, two things that are food and like Bread and Beast, you know, and it's so funny though. The other day I met a guy, I went to Berlinetta Brewing in Norwalk, I think, no, Bridgeport the other day. And I was doing something for them because I work for publications too. I work for Hearst Media Media too. So I was there doing a shoot for them. And I was chatting with the guys, the brothers who own the place. And I told him the name of my business. He's like, so do you do food and pet photography? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, no, I was like, that is nice. Like I never thought of it that way. You're the only person who's ever said that to me, but so absolutely no, I don't do that. Like pet photography. No, I was like, no, Beast is in meat that you eat. I was like, that kind of like, that's what I mean. He's like, oh, okay. I get it now. So I'm like, please don't anybody think of that. No one's ever said that before. It's hilarious. But I just, you know, I just kind of, you know, it's two things that are food and that are beautiful, you know, like, and kind of encompasses the subjects that I like to love to photograph. So I thought it was a perfect name. And I dig it. I love it.
It's a great name. And your logo is awesome. Who's responsible for that?
Me. That was me. That was mine. That was a little graphic design things that I did. So yeah, I occasionally still do some stuff, but photography is way more is my thing.
Right, right, right. And you know, you've worked with some really remarkable people.
Oh my God.
Like some really just special people. You know, I know one of those people being Chef Carlos Perez, obviously. Right. And I know that, you worked with the folks over at, and I, you know, and their names escape me at the moment, but the over at Hindsight, Barbecue Waterbury, which was super cool. And so like, you know, you worked with a bunch of really awesome people, you know, way more than I can name, but like, who are some other people that you've worked with that you were just like, I can't believe this.
Oh my gosh.
Or just, I mean, I'm sure it's so many, the list is so long, but.
I'm so honored when anyone like wants to work with me. Like, it's incredible because, you know, like, it's funny, like I go through this thing like a lot of creatives do, and I don't like, I kind of don't ever want to lose it because I think it keeps me going. But like, you think you know what you're doing. Like, you get to a point where you do know what you're doing, you know, but, and I've grown that my confidence and skill and technical ability has definitely grown a lot over the years. Like, I look back at stuff, like even my Instagram feed, I look back and I don't post that much on there, but I look back at the beginning and I'm like, oh my God, the beginning compared to where I am now, it's like almost embarrassing a little bit. But I, you know, I always go through this cycle where I feel like, you know, I just go through this, I'm good, I know what I'm doing, I'm good, I'm good. And then I cycle back to, I suck. You know, I don't know what I'm doing, I suck. You know, and it's that kind of weird cycle that I think a lot of creatives go through. And I think it's kind of a good thing to go through that because, at least for me, because like, I don't ever want to feel like I have this nailed, because then I think I might, my work would not be that good anymore, or, you know, or good. And I would, or maybe, you know, I would get bored or something. And, you know, like, I don't see me ever getting bored, but I'm glad I have that sort of push and pull and that dichotomy yin and yang thing of, you know, I feel confident. And then I also like still get nervous, you know, about things. Like, I still get nervous with some stuff because I really want to do a good job. And I probably, if you ask Carlos, I probably overshoot because like, I'm just so interested in getting, you know, like a good image because I just want to capture this thing really well and get what I have in my head, you know, that I will keep going until I kind of feel I've gotten it. And then even then sometimes I'm like, I'll look back and be like, that wasn't what I had in my head, but you know, it's a struggle. Like it's a real, I saw this meme one time. It was like a Venn diagram where there was like two circles and one said extreme or talent, something, extreme talent or something, big ego. And in the middle, it said crushing, I can't remember it now, right? But it was just like crushing defeat or crushing anxiety or something like that. And that's so what it is. There's these ego, talent, something. And in the middle, there's just like crushing doubt or something, you know, which is just very real. But I don't know if that answers your question, but like some of the people I worked with, okay, so that gets what you asked. Carlos is obviously like, I mean, I'm so eternally grateful for him. If I had another baby, I would name it after him for sure. Or maybe a cat, maybe my next cat.
Yeah.
but because he's just, whatever he saw in me, like we met during a shoot for a magazine and I wasn't sure why, because he was so quiet. You know, he was very quiet, intense, you know, working on, he was making this pasta dish with this spring pesto with these peas, and the way he made this pasta was incredible, and then cooked, you know, hand, you know, ground these herbs to make this pesto and everything, and it was incredible tasting. And then just photographing him and his hands and him at work was just like this study in like mastery of, you know, a skill that was just beautiful to behold, you know. So but then whatever he, you know, he contacted me after that, and God, that was probably like 2 years ago or maybe. And we've just been doing like regular shoots ever since. And I'm so honored that he wants to work with me. And then he's pushed my work too, like in a way. He usually just tells me to do whatever I want, you know, but he's given me the opportunity to work on his food and him himself as a subject with other things I want to explore and other techniques and stuff like that. And that's helped me really just grow as a photographer. And his food is just gorgeous. I mean, beyond delicious, you know, it's just stunning visually. He paints on a plate like no one I've ever known, you know. And to me it seems easy, but you can tell he's that artist that, you know, he's always thinking and he's always, you know, he's always got something that he wants to accomplish and do. And I'm happy to document it more than I can say.
So. That's all. That's really, really great. And you know, I can tell that you've worked with so many great restaurateurs and people because, you know, there's a lot of times where I get a friend request on either Facebook or Instagram, or I, you know, send a friend request out to some chefs to see if they want to come on the podcast, or just because I'm a fan because I went to their restaurant, I thought they did a really great job, and I want to drool over their photos that they post, you know, and everything like that, and see what they like to do in their free time, and. One thing I was finding out was it was either their profile picture or pictures on their page were either pictures from you or Winter Kaplan. Like, you both are like the OGs, I feel like, of
and Winter's amazing. Yeah, she is.
Oh, you guys are doing amazing work, but I just noticed that like your photos are like every, like, I'm always like, that looks like a Lisa. And then I look and it's like photo credit Lisa. And I'm like, all right, awesome. You know, that's so cool.
That's, you know, what more could you want? You know, but I owe Winter a debt of gratitude because she introduced me to Carlos. Like, I was on assignment for her when I met Carlos, and, you know, and she definitely inspires me all the time. You know, like, I don't know how she does what she does, but it's just, you know, that's her, you know, one of hers as soon as you see it coming up the feed, you know, absolutely. And that's like what we all strive for, I think, you know, too. And I feel like, you know, I'm still sometimes exploring what my style may be, you know, but I definitely have a stronger idea, because one thing I love about working with chefs and in kitchens and stuff is how gritty they are. You know, some, you know, like, it's hard work, you know, you're in a hot environment with things that can hurt you and cut you. And you got people waiting outside that can either make or break you, you know, waiting to be fed. And the pressure of that is just, you know, is immense. And that alone, I think, would break me, like, just knowing that. So, like, I just sit back and observe. I squish into a small corner in a kitchen and I try to get what's going on, and, you know, and just the reality of it all and the struggle of it all. But then the beauty of it all and the love and passion that these chefs put into what they do, you know, and it's just incredible. Like, if you talk to Xavier Santiago, like, he, you know Xavier, right? Do you know him?
He's coming on the show pretty soon.
Oh, amazing. Awesome. Yeah. Great. Yeah. He's like that too. I mean, him and Carlos are friends too, but he's like, you should see him put I have pictures of him like filling a little, first time I met him was at Francesca's Wine Bar with Carlos. I was shooting a Willy Wonka dinner they were putting on. It was a Willy Wonka themed dinner, and it was a benefit dinner.
They do amazing theme benefit dinner, and I definitely want to get into another one with you, but keep going. Yeah.
No, that one was, so I have this picture of him filling a little, like, it's a, what is it? Like a tool. What's it called? One of those little tubes. I don't know, tube or something. He's filling it with like liver pate. And he's just like, this picture of him with like the
intensity. Oh, like a pipette? Like a pipette.
Yeah, he's got a bag, like a little pastry bag. Yeah. And he's just filling. But the look of intensity on his face, you know, when he's doing this little delicate thing, is just incredible, you know. And yeah, they come up with some crazy theme stuff and amazing food every time they do it. Every time.
So. That's awesome. Yes. And I'm so glad. It's so funny. I was the next thing I was going to talk to you about was Xavier Santiago, Chef Xavier Santiago, you know, winner of Chopped, Chef Carlos Perez, and Dustin Amore.
Yeah. Amore. I think it's Amore.
Okay. Amore. Yeah. Honestly, big fan of his too. I don't even think he knows that. I haven't reached out to him yet, but definitely want to have him on the show because I love speaking to mixologists. I'm actually having the cocktail chemist on soon.
Awesome.
He does some really awesome cocktails in the state of Connecticut, over there in Cheshire. And so I'm really excited to speak with him pretty soon. But because I love, you know, who doesn't love a good cocktail? I mean, come on.
I know.
But they did an event over there not too long ago in honor of, well, no, it wasn't the Anthony Bourdain. It was the one prior to that, right?
Was it
the Anthony Bourdain?
I should look at my website.
They all got together and did an event, and it was super cool. And I saw you were there. So, you know, what was it like just being surrounded by all those guys and taking photos and working with them?
So there's another chef that I work with, Brendan Savoy, who is, they call him Brenny. And he's, so if you've ever seen this, usually after we have this tradition, whenever they do a shoot, we try to do a group shot afterwards in front of at the corner. And I have them standing in front. And so I have some with, on the last couple ones, I think, yeah, Dustin was there, Xavier, Carlos, and Brenny, they call him. He's like another chef that's there. So they're always like, I don't know, it's always so much fun. And it's always like, I feel like they're just family now. And I feel so grateful to have found these people that I you know, we have this great symbiotic relationship, you know, where we both, you know, like I love documenting what they do. They love having it documented, and, you know, and they're so open to letting me come into like the, you know, and get in the way. I think one time Carlos is like, no flash right now. Like I was in the kitchen. He's like, no flash right now. Cause he was really busy. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You're like, I don't, let me get out of your way, you know, but they're just always the creativity is boundless, you know, and I don't know where it comes from, but it always astounds me. And just what they come up with is just such beautiful as an object sometimes too, like a cocktail or a plate of food. Like it's just, you know, how could you not want to, like the cook's tour dinner that we did, the Anthony Bourdain one, they had this dish. It was a lagostino, you know, with like fava beans or something. Sometimes I don't even know the exact details of the dishes, but they lit it on fire. And so I have pictures of this, you know, after it was cooked, they had it like flaming as it went out to the diner. And it was just so beautiful to have this like flaming poor lagostino, you know, whatever, like to see that and to photograph it was just, it was stunning. So,
you know, Dustin Amore makes such a gorgeous, amazing looking cocktail that I've been looking for like every excuse in the world to get my ass over to Middletown, Connecticut.
Yeah.
And stop by work. Oh, he's not?
He's at Butchers and Bakers, which I'm not sure where
right,
it is.
That's right. My bad. He's not a conspiracy anymore. That's my bad. I knew that. Yeah. Wait, where is Butchers and Bakers?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay, I got to double check that. Well, yeah. Well, I'm looking for any excuse to get out to wherever he may be.
Oh, yeah. You got it. Well, he puts in those, you know, those guest star appearances at the corner a lot too for usually he's there.
And, you know, it's super cool that they did a benefit in Anthony Bourdain's honor and everything like that. What was that event like? Because Bourdain is just such a, you know, he's so like, he's such an instrumental part of the food industry folks' lives and you know, all of our lives, really. He's an icon, so I can't
imagine. Believe Carlos really looked, you know, I know he has a tattoo of him on his arm.
We talked about that.
But what that was every year they do a benefit dinner for the AJJ Suicide Prevention Society. And that was the theme this year. So, and it just happened to be around, I think this anniversary was the anniversary of his death. I'm not sure, but that was their theme this year. So that was, you know, why they, like they did the first one I did for him was the Willy Wonka one. And then they did, oh my God, they've done a few of them now. And I can't remember what the other ones were for. I have to look. See, it's becoming a blur because there's so much. I feel so lucky to look back at all the things that I've done, you know, and like, but I have to refresh my memory sometimes because I'm forgetting. So,
you know, and it's great they do that. You know, suicide has been, you know, it's always a serious topic and subject. But I feel like more so ever, you know, recently, you know, with social media and people, you know, getting upset with things that happen on there. And then you have the pandemic and everything like that. Yeah. So it is really great to see benefits like that, you know, and every benefit's great, but especially suicide awareness. Like I'm totally.
I know it's affected the restaurant society. Yeah. A lot during the pandemic.
So. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. The pandemic didn't help. In that scenario, a lot of people who were alone, you know, who were stuck in their home and couldn't really do anything. I can't imagine it. It's just unfortunate. And hopefully we can, you know, get a little better here at some point. Thank you so much for listening to part one of a two-part podcast episode with the wonderful Lisa Nichols of Bread and Bees Food Photography. Be sure to stay tuned for part two coming next week. Yet again, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate your feedback. As a reminder, you can play the podcast with the help of your smart speaker by simply saying, play the podcast Sweeten Up with Jeff Spencer. Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music Morgan Lutzi, production and art director Kurt Vinci, editor and writer Nick Passacretta, and special thanks as always to Devin Cipelli. Next week on the podcast, like I was saying at the top, stay tuned for part two of my conversation with Lisa Nichols. Part two has endless laughs, wonderful stories, favorite places to eat, and so much more. But until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy, love you all, peace.